Amen. Well, I want to start out by saying thank you to everyone for coming here. I know it's not easy to travel, and I know you guys do have to sacrifice a little to be here, but I absolutely appreciate every single one of you. And also in regards to our decorators, I know it doesn't look like much because the space is so big. It looks like we just hang this there, hang that there, put this up. It all looks about 10 minutes worth of work, I know. But if you know that this stuff takes time. Amen. And if you're wondering, well, how long does it take? Well, let me put it this way. Jenny, where are you at? Are you here this morning? Oh, she must have started Sunday night. The first time we decorated was Sunday night, and I think she might have started right after the service. Was it right after the service, or did you fellowship right away? Right after the service? She's like, yep, right after the service, which probably ended around 7:45 p.m. She was not done until 3 a.m. the next day. And if you think it got a little easier, it did. They were up decorating last night, but they didn't finish until 2 a.m. Amen? So I know that Pastor usually gives people a round of applause, and I'm not going to have them stand up, but hey, I just want to give everyone a hand of applause who did decorate the last couple days, because this stuff has been hard. And we do it because we love it, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a blast seeing all your faces. Are you guys having fun or what? I hope it's worth your money. I hope you guys are having a blast. I don't know if something happened here. But either way, I'm here to talk about the Mexico Missions Cruise. Sorry. It feels like it's a little different when I lower my voice like a big man. Amen. But I really want to talk about it. In the book of Acts, if I were to think of one verse that keeps popping in my head when it comes to our missions cruise, is here in Acts 8. Specifically, the part where it says right there, look down at Acts 8:29. Says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran. He didn't just walk. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto him, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man shall guide me and desire that he will come up and sit with him? And the reason this reminds me of our missions cruise is because, hey, I believe that God is our example. I believe Christ was our example. I believe the Holy Ghost is our example. So I just took his example. So me and my partners were knocking doors. Hey, I just played the Holy Ghost. I was like, yo, that person over there, go talk to him. And this person will go. And then the next person, hey, that person's coming up. You want them? Sure, they'll go. But what this person would do most of the time is she would run. Now, I don't know why she decided to run, but hey, there's nothing wrong with it. Because it's right here in Scripture, amen? And I know some of you may be thinking, I'm not going to run after anyone. Well, I guess you're better than Philip. You might as well be in the Bible because you're better than him. But listen, if you ever wonder, is this even biblical, what we're doing on these cruises? Hey, one way to find out, like I told Pastor, just read the book of Acts, and you'll figure it out real quick. And if you don't the first time around, keep reading. You'll see that what we do is biblical. Now, in regards to how our trip went, I'll just quickly go through what we did. So, obviously, we flew out of Phoenix. It wasn't that long of a flight, maybe an hour and a half. Flew out of Phoenix, got to Long Beach. From Long Beach, we went to the port. We took a taxi to the port or an Uber to the port. Actually, it was a taxi to the port. And then we ended up getting there. And sure, it was what it was. We just had to wait a few hours until it was time to board. So, I don't even remember what time it was. Maybe it was 11, maybe 12 in the afternoon. I don't really remember. But we ended up probably starting to board around 2 o'clock. So it is what it is. That's the part where you just kind of have to wait, stand around, take pictures, talk to each other, wait for everybody to show up. And so once everybody's there, just start putting people by groups in case you don't know how these cruises go. How many of you guys have been on these cruises already? All right. So for the rest of you guys, you haven't. I'm just kind of explaining it to you. But bottom line, I'll say this. This trip was a great trip. Amen. And if you speak Spanish and you're in that area, especially people from First Works Baptist, where are you at? Anybody here yet from First Works? Right over there. Hopefully you can learn some Spanish. Do you speak Spanish at all? He says no, he says yes. I highly recommend if you can, jump in this cruise. It'll be worth your money, especially since you guys don't have to pay for flights. What was it, 45 minutes from your church? Just get to Long Beach. I don't know where you parked your vehicle, but hey, Ulysses made it. Other people made it, and we're glad they were there. But I think this is one that you guys will have a blast doing as much as you possibly can. So it was what it was. We get on there. We end up leaving. We leave the port. We have a whole day in the sea. And obviously, they have a lot of stuff for you to do on ship. And I'm going to just tell you right now, if you have to pick between Norwegian and Carnival, we were talking about it the other day, Carnival gets a bad rap. Yeah, Carnival, yeah, if you Google stuff, you'll see some wildness going on. I don't recommend you to search too much, but I was expecting some wildness. But I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't see anything. It was like a ship that seemed like they might have toned it out way too much because I didn't see any party animals. I didn't see any crazy stuff. You know, but one thing I can guarantee you, I heard this before, I just didn't believe it. The last cruise I went on was the Norwegian cruise, and I thought that food was great. I enjoyed it. We had our chicken wings. The restaurants were fancy. But then you get a taste of Carnival, and next thing you know, you're thinking, man, Norwegian really ripped us off. Carnival, their ship wasn't the coolest. It wasn't super amazing like the Norwegian one was. The rooms, I think, were a little older. The ship, I don't know how old it was, but it wasn't spanking new. Norwegian had, I believe, the nicer ship. But at the end of the day, what matters to Baptists, besides getting so safe, is the food, right? So if you're wondering, Norwegian or Carnival? Carnival, 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 Carnival. Do yourself a favor and go to Carnival. Doesn't matter where they're going. Just hop on Carnival. The food will not disappoint you. It just will not. And if you don't believe me, I got a room full of witnesses that went with me. Talk to them. They'll say the same thing. Because we were all wondering, is it just me or is this food way better than Norwegian? I'm sure Norwegian is probably going to tell Google, shut them up, cancel that stinking channel. But I'm telling you, it's well worth going on Carnival as much as you can. And if it does get wild, it has nothing to do with the cruise line. Sometimes you have spring break and that will mess things up. So try to avoid these cruises during spring break. But we ended up just having a whole day at the sea on Tuesday. So we just have fun doing whatever on the ship. Then Wednesday comes around. So when Wednesday came around, it was time to hit the ground running. So we all decided to get in four-man teams, and we all decided that the best way to travel is just to take Ubers, only because I didn't want to deal with pesos. I didn't want to deal with any of that. If they had Uber, by all means, I was like, hey, let's do Uber. I'm familiar with it. I think it'll be worth it. Hopefully there's a lot of Ubers out there, and I'm here to report that there's a lot of Ubers when you go on this cruise trip. You will not have any issues trying to get a ride to wherever you want to go soul winning and get a ride somewhere else. And the reason that's a great thing is because it makes it easy for you to travel. And I don't know about you, but I don't like traveling with a lot of pesos in my pocket. So it was great just to use the app. The app worked very well. And so we decided to just get in four main teams. Why four main teams? Here's why. Because we weren't expecting Uber XL. Here in America, all day, every day, you can get Uber XL. You can get 6 people, 10 people. I don't know about 12 or more. But I wasn't sure about Mexico. So I said, you know what? Let's just pair up in four main teams. That makes it easy. One team leader's in charge of it. And you know what? I'll give you your areas. And it took me a little bit of time to just kind of look at satellite images to figure out, okay, what places are the most receptive just from the satellite images? Because you really don't know until you get there. So one thing I learned from going to Mexico on Mexico Mondays is we try to get areas that have a lot of houses pretty much together and not that many gates, because I really don't like gates. I don't know about you, but I don't like banging on gates trying to get people to come out. Maybe I should be more humble, but I just don't like doing that. Maybe you do, but I don't. And I didn't want, you know, a lady's, where's Faith? Did she hear? I don't know if you guys know about Faith, but does she talk? Has anybody heard her speak? I've seen her smile once or twice, but I still don't know what her voice sounds like. But do you really think I want her picking up a rock and banging on people's fences? Hola, hola, señor. That's how we have to do it sometimes, but I didn't want that. So just doing my best to figure out where to go. That's kind of what I saw. Okay, here's a street that looks like there's barely any gates. There's a lot of houses in the area. Let's go hit it up. And obviously, we have backup plan after backup plan. So in case you don't know, Cabo San Lucas, we went there about 3 weeks ago, and that place is hot. I don't know if you think that Phoenix is hot, but that place I thought was hotter than Phoenix. It was supposed to be 70 degrees, but I guess the humidity, which I didn't feel humidity, I just felt heat. And I felt like my skin was burning off, and I'm like, man, I don't know why, but I don't get this in Phoenix. It's super hot. Like, I'm like constantly just like trying to rub my skin so the heat just kind of goes away. But it is a hot place, so if you ever take the cruise, realize, hey, take a sombrero, amen? I don't care. I mean, I don't know if I should say this. I don't care if you're as black as Moses, please take a hat. Brother Moses, but Pastor Shetty started last night, so he's my get out of jail free card. The reason I bring him up, because I want you to understand that it was not fun. I wish I had a hat. I was going to the little stores trying to find a sombrero. I don't care if it was pink, I was going to buy it. So please, if you do take this trip, and I hope you guys take this trip. I hope I can do another one of these trips, because it is what it is. We were there just so many 3 days, but we got over 180 salvations. I believe it was 183. And that's for 3 days. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't consider it a super receptive area, but the reason we got so many souls saved is because the people on this trip were willing to do what Philip did and run to people if they had to, because it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. I'm thinking, okay, it's Mexico, it's a poor area, surely, you know, the gospel is a lot easier to preach to people that are poor. But this wasn't the case, at least from my experience. We had to go everywhere and talk to anyone and everyone to get that salvation that we did. And at the time, I thought, oh man, this is not going to be a very successful trip. But hey, let's just do what we can, not focusing on the soul so much, because the first areas were kind of rough, but just focusing on the seconds. I'm like, look, to me, the most important thing right now is the seconds. Let's just make sure we're out there for at least 4 hours so we don't miss the cruise. Now that we know better, we probably push it to 5 hours, but we didn't want to be left behind, because that would absolutely not be bueno, amen? So that was kind of the mission. Team one goes there, team two goes there, team three goes there, team four goes there, and we're pretty much in the same area, just on different streets. And we just said, hey, listen, if it ain't working for you, get an Uber. They're all within 1 minute. Jump in it. Go somewhere else. Go to a school. Go to a college. Do whatever you need to do. You know, so we ended up just going to our area, you know, on Wednesday over in Cabo San Lucas. And, man, I don't know what it was, but it was just super hot. And not just super hot, but for some reason there were flies everywhere. Just everywhere, just like just constantly trying to get them off you. I don't know, no matter where you went in that area. I guess it kind of was due to a lot of poop in the area. It's kind of like a res with a lot of dogs kind of lose a lot of poop on the ground. So that kind of brought the flies. But one thing that I'll get into is one thing that I learned not to do pretty much in life in general, but especially in a country where it's a little more dangerous than your home, is to be careful when it comes to complaining. Be careful when it comes to complaining. And so we ended up going to Cabo San Lucas, flies everywhere, super hot. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know how everybody else is doing, but I hope they don't want to kill me for bringing them to this area. But then they end up finding out that one team got smart and they're like, hey, it's hot. We're going to the mall. I'm not going to say what team that was, but this team got a little smart and they're like, hey, it's hot. We ain't having that much success. Hey, I don't want to burn my skin off. We're out of here. Got an Uber and they took off to the mall, and that's where they stayed the remainder of the day. And as they put it, it was great. It was air conditioned. People here, people there. We got about 15 for my team, 10 for my team, 12 for my team, whatever the case. I don't have the detailed numbers on me. But that's what you have to do, just be flexible. But in my area, we were having decent success, so we never left. So my team, we sucked up the sun for the entire 4 hours, because we're hardcore like that, right? But then, of course, we have to get back to the ship. And on the ship, hey, you already heard Brother Raymond talk about it. It's great. The food is great. Carnival is amazing when it comes to the food. Even the ship was great. I'm not saying that it was old and about to fall apart or anything like that. Not saying that whatsoever. I'm just saying that if you're going to pick either Norwegian or Carnival, don't believe me. Go talk to your favorite preacher. He told me that this was the case for him. I'm like, there's no way. Norwegian's food was very, very good. And then sure enough, once I got a taste of Carnival, I'm never going back to Norwegian unless I absolutely have to. Just making sure you understand that. So here's the game plan. Ended up going back in the ship. We were in Cabo San Lucas for 2 days. So Wednesday, we went soul winning. It was hot. I got over, I believe, 50 salvations. And so we all got back. We all basically went to eat. And that's a fun time. They obviously have, you know, a lot of space in the diner, but not for like 19 people. So they split us up. And every day, we just kind of get with whatever group we want. And we just had a good time talking to each other, eating, having seconds, stirs. I mean, everything. They start you with appetizers. Then they go to the main meal. And then they force you to eat dessert. What a horrible punishment, right? And so not just once, but twice. It's like, hey, get multiple desserts. Once we figured that out, my son Ace was with me. And then sure enough, I'm like, what you going to get for dessert? I mean, he already had it all ready to go. Like, he was ready for two meals. Everything was coming out at the same time. It was great. The fellowship was great. Obviously, I'm 15 minutes into my sermon, so I'm going to get to the verses. Don't worry. I'm not going to turn this into an old IFB sermon where one verse for the entire hour. That ain't going to happen. But I am going to report that this was a great trip. I'm going to be like Joshua and Caleb. It was amazing. We loved it. At the time, I didn't think it was that great. I don't want you to think that it was a cakewalk. It wasn't, but it was all worth it. It was hard work, and it was all worth it. A lot of walking here, a lot of walking there, and we just did what we could. We hit the streets. Streets ain't working. You know what? Go find something else. Go to the colleges. Colleges ain't working. All right, go find a park. Park isn't working. Hey, go find some laundromats. Oh, we did all that, and it was all from just hearing other people that the NIB, you know, put out there that ended up giving tips. We were just taking everything we learned and just trying to use it to our advantage. And at the end of the day, it worked great. So in Cabo San Lucas, we were there for 2 days. We hit different areas. But day one, it was what it was. One team was guided. You know, they just were guided to a school. And so Diego, he's not here, but Diego took his team and it went to a middle school and they did their soul winning there. And then they came back and they reported, man, we found a school. It was awesome. Around 1 o'clock, there were just students everywhere. And I'm like, whoa, you think we should all go there? And he's like, absolutely. I think we should all go there. All right, you know what? We'll go there tomorrow. And he was right. He was 100% correct. It was a middle school, and just so you know, I didn't even know this at the time, but the second day, we went to a different area, and there was a school near us. I just didn't see it on the map for whatever reason. And so it was what it was. We just did so went in the streets, and it went well. You know, salvation here, salvation there, salvation pretty much everywhere. And so what happened is we were talking to an old lady, and she's like, I don't got time to talk. I got to go pick up my niece from school or whatever. So we're like, hey, she's going to the school. Let's just follow this lady, see where she goes. And then it didn't take long to realize, bro, the school's like right there. How did we not see it? So then I went to go check it out with someone else that was in my team. But then we realized, you know what? This probably isn't the best place. We might as well gamble because, hey, it was getting close to 1 o'clock. We decided at 1 o'clock we're going to go to the middle school to try to see if we can get some souls saved there with the young kids. You know, but obviously this elementary school, you know, the kids can't go home without their parents. So all these parents just kind of showed up, grabbed their kids by the hands, and they're taking them home. So we kind of felt like, hey, you know what? These parents will probably want to get back to their homes. But you know what? Let's just go to the other place. Hey, let's just continue with the mission. Let's get in our Uber and relocate and go to the middle school and see how it goes. So as soon as we got to the middle school, sure enough, we see kids everywhere. And I didn't even, like, hesitate. All right, get out here, pay the cab. Oh, no, I wasn't even paying the cab. It's like, just get out. It's all Uber. And then I just went across the street, saw kids sitting down, and I just started talking to them. And I just started hitting them up. Hey, how you doing? My name is Chris. You know, I'm a missionary from America. I just want to talk to you really quickly. You know, hey, we're out here talking about the gospel. I'm not sure if you guys go to church anywhere. Oh, no. One teenage kid is like, no, I'm good, I'm good. He goes back to his phone. But his sister was just sitting there, and I'm like, hey, you know, he said he doesn't care, but do you go to church anywhere? She's like, yeah, we go to the Catholic church. I'm like, well, let me ask you this. You ever been to a Baptist church? She's like, no. Well, listen, most important thing to ask, make sure people go to heaven. If you die right now, where are you going to go? And she's like, I don't know. And, of course, I asked her, well, listen, I like to show people what the Bible says. You get a little bit of time to talk? And she's like, sure. So then I started giving her the gospel. And next thing you know, one kid shows up, then another kid shows up, then another kid shows up, and I got like seven kids just listening to me. And I don't know if you ever see me preach to kids, but I get animated. I go after everyone. I go after this person. If I see somebody not paying attention, I'm like, hey, what does it say? Whoa, what? Oh, yeah, hell yeah, I believe in it. Okay. And then we just keep on keeping on. You know, so it was what it was. I'm just talking to all these kids. And then at the end of it all, I was just trying to like check as many salvations as I could. Do you understand this? Do you understand that? They're like, sure, absolutely. I get it. And then there was also another girl that was kind of standing to the side. I wasn't necessarily targeting her. But then as I kept talking to these kids, I noticed that she was just talking on the other side. So then I decided to maybe confront her as well. I said, hey, but how about you? If you die right now, where are you going to go? She's like, I don't know. He said, well, I'm just talking about the Bible. Do you want to hear it? And then she got up and came over and she started to listen. And of course, the friends are trying to take her away. It's like, hey, let's go. She's like, stop, quiet, hold up, I'm listening. You know, so I'm like, okay, it is what it is. I'll just keep going. And so the original person that I started with, she was answering correctly, but her body language didn't really give me a good, like, understanding of what's going on, but she answered correctly, so I went with it. But the girl to the left that came forward, she started answering a lot more confidently. And then, of course, I had all these other kids around me, and they seemed to be getting it, but I wasn't sure if they were really getting it or just kind of agreeing with me. So at the end, I just kind of verified everything, talked to everyone, and I'm like, hey, if this is what you guys believe, then before I go, I'd like to pray with you guys and ask God to save you. He's like, if you want to pray, hey, just stick around and just bow your heads and pray with me. So I prayed with like seven, but I only counted two, just because the original one, she answered correctly, even though the body language didn't seem like she was absolutely interested, but you don't go by that. It's by their words I'm going to condemn them, and by their words I'm going to justify them. And she didn't mess up a single question. It's like, hey, what's the Bible say you have to do? Believe. Hey, what about this? What about this? Nope. This and this and this. She answered correctly. The other person was like, yeah, I believe that. That's what makes sense. And then it was what it was. I talked to the other kids. Yeah, I believe that too. So then I decided to pray with them. But then I'm like, okay. Then I went to another kid, started talking to him, and then gave him the gospel. After it was done with him, I'm like, hey, if you want to pray, I could just pray with you right now. She's like, absolutely, I would love to get saved. So I started praying with him, and then I noticed that one of the original seven, he was still to the side listening in, and then I started praying with him. So then I prayed with him, and it's like, did you mean that? He's like, yeah. So if you die right now, where are you going to go? He's like, oh, I'm going to heaven, 100%. And then I told him, well, listen, now that you're saved, you know what God wants you to do? He wants to get other people saved. So I'm checking his salvation. He's like, so if somebody would ask you, what I have to do to go to heaven, what are you going to tell them? Oh, I'm going to tell them they have to believe on Christ. But at the same time, okay, good. So, you know, you just got saved right now? And he's like, yep. And then the other kid's like, yeah, one more. He's like, what do you mean one more? He's like, one more. The kid that was one of the original seven. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I pray too. I just got saved right now. He's like, I finally got it. It's like, so you didn't get saved the first time? He's like, no, I didn't understand it. But now I got it. So he just prayed without me even asking him to pray the second time. So in the end, you just don't know what you're going to get. But that was probably the funnest time out of the entire cruise, because the other times was a little bit too, what you can say, hard. You just have to earn every salvation. You know, but we were there in Cabo after that. We were done with the school. Then we had to get back to the ship, got back to the ship. And, of course, we had a good time in the ship. Then, sure enough, Friday, we're back at sea for an entire day. And I don't know, but the first time I spoke to somebody about a cruise that wasn't somebody from the church was my dentist. So I was getting some kind of work done on my teeth, and he's asking me, hey, you going to do anything this weekend? I'm like, oh, I'm actually going to Mexico and whatever. I'm going on a cruise. You ever been on a cruise? He's like, oh, yeah, I've been on a cruise. And he said, what you think? I didn't really like it. He's like, why is that? He's like, ah, I got a little seasick. I'm like, really? I didn't notice anything when I went on the first cruise to the Bahamas. I literally didn't feel a single thing. Are you sure? Maybe people are just sensitive. I was starting to think that I'm special, you know, that I'm like a guy that can handle cruises. I was built for this. I'm ready for them, you know. I'm going to do these every single year. This is what I'm here to do. This is why God brought me into this world. Until this cruise, then I'm like, oh, bro, y'all feel that? I'm like, oh, man. I'm like wobbly. I'm like, oh, man. I don't want you guys to think that it's all sunshine and unicorns. I don't know. It was just like, this ship is a little weird. And then we're at dinner, and they're like, hey, where do you guys want to sit? I'm going to sit here where I don't see the ocean. And then my son's like, yeah, me too. Looking at the ocean is making me want to puke right now. We're at dinner. I was like, well, this is going to be the worst place to puke, son, so let's just not look at the ocean. So I started to feel it. Even when we're sleeping, I don't know. I thought we hit an iceberg, because at one moment it's like, no. The ship is just making a ton of noise. Who felt that noise that went on this cruise? She felt it. I thought it was over. I'm like, bro, get your life jacket, son. Something's going on. Like, we're going to have to jump in icy waters. And then I'm like, what was that? I don't know. I thought we hit something. I'm like, what, did two boats crash or what? But I was so tired, I didn't care to figure it out. I'm like, they'll sound the alarm. Let's go back to bed. But it was a little rougher than the first one. I got spoiled with the first one when it came to the seasickness. It didn't give me whatsoever. This one got me a little bit. And what I didn't know, for some reason, Pastor never told me this. And I'm just warning you guys in case you're thinking you're going to have a stroke or something. I was telling Pastor, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like I'm still on the cruise. And this is like a day later when we got back. Like, I'm walking through the hallways and I'm like, we're like, whoa. And then I'm like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to sound like a little, you know, weakling, but I'm like, whatever, it's probably in my head, or am I going to have a stroke? What the heck's going on? And then Pastor came to the building and it's like talking to me, and I'm like, Pastor, I don't know, but I feel weird. I feel like I'm still in the ship. Like, I'm just, oh, that happens to me every single time. I'm like, you never mentioned it. Well, you never asked. Remember that? I'm like, how could you not mention something so weird? Like, literally, it took me like a week. I'm like, whoa. I tell my wife, I don't know which way this ship is going. I don't know what medical condition that's called, but it was weird. People are like, oh, it's sea legs. I'm talking to Brother Dickie and the dad, and I'm talking to him. He's like, hey, how'd your trip go? Man, I feel like I'm still in the ship right now. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I feel like we're shifting like right now. What is that? He's like, I think it's called sea legs or something like that. I'm like, me no like those sea legs, man. That's no bueno. Did you guys get that too? Oh, see, I'm not the only one. They got it too. They were with us. I don't know, but hey, just letting you know, you're going to get sea legs if you go on this cruise. But it was kind of fun, though, wasn't it? Like, you're all weird. Like, what the heck is that? Like, dang. You feel like moonwalking, you know, like, whoa. You know, like, this is crazy. But that's what happened. So we're at sea on Friday, just having a good old time, doing our thing. Yeah, I was a fuddy-duddy. I was mostly in my room because I was trying to work on, you know, when you're in charge, you really don't have that much fun, but it was well worth it. I absolutely loved it. They're out there collecting ducks, doing all kinds of Duck Dynasty stuff. Ask them, they'll let you know. They wanted me to preach on ducks. I'm like, my sermon title is going to be The Art of Not Giving a, well, Duck, in case you're wondering what I was about to say. But at the end of the day, we get to Ensenada. Now it's our last day of soul winning. By this time, we got, I think, 130 salvations. I don't remember exactly. But we get to Ensenada, so Tuesday, all day at sea, Friday, all day at sea, Saturday, Ensenada, last day to hit the ground hard and do what we can to win as many souls as possible. And I just told everyone, hey, this is a recon trip. We don't have a playbook here. We're inventing the wheel. So you know what? Let's just use common sense and be safe and go out there and do what we can, give it 100%. And at least let's go for 4 hours just to be safe. I don't want anybody to miss the ship. That would be no bueno. So we decided, hey, 4 hours, let's just do 4 hours. And now we know that we can actually push it to 5 hours, and it's totally safe. You're not going to miss the ship. unless something crazy happens, but yet that's out of your control. Something like that happens, hey, you know, God will get you through it. So we get to Ensenada. We all went to this one area. I just kind of wanted to get away from all the tourist areas. I'm like, hey, listen, let's just go to this area. Hopefully it works out. And so we went to this area. Pretty much, we weren't really having success there, but we had the backup plans. All right, backup plans. You go to the swap meet, go there. Backup plan, you go to the apartments, go there. And that's all we can really do, is just have backup plans. So we got there. I took two teams to this area. Other teams went to colleges, try to see what they can do. And in typical NIFB fashion, they go to the college, they go soul winning for 45 minutes. The next thing you know, y'all got to go, amigos. They ended up getting kicked out. Was that Ensenada, by the way? It was Ensenada. So don't get super excited if you're like, oh, there's a college. Yeah, let's go there all day. Hey, you may get your heart broken if you're thinking that way, because they were thinking, let's stay at the college because it makes perfect sense just from what we've been doing in the past with the other cruises. Hey, those are the places to hit. Middle schools, obviously, parks, whatever, where people are at, that's the places to go check out. And like I said, I've never gone on a trip like this to Mexico, so I didn't know what to expect. It was our first time, but I had the best 19 soul winners that I could possibly ask for. They made my life super easy, all vets. I don't think there was anybody super new, but they kind of just, like Pastor Shelley says, they were just like an autopilot. You know, they just got in their four-man teams, got in their Uber, went to their mission, didn't work out. And that's what I told them. Listen, this is your mission, but feel free to, you know, change the plan. Feel free to, you know, cancel the plan. Feel free to go with it. You know, so they did what they did, and yeah, the plan didn't go as well. So they continue to change it and go to the backup plans, and that's what you can really do. You know, and besides that, hey, we stayed with the original plan because in the area that we were at, nobody was really having success. And I was thinking, yeah, it's not going to be a good area. But next thing you know, it started to pick up for our team. But the other team wasn't having too much success. So then we stayed in the original area in Ensenada. And Ensenada, I don't know what's going on with Mexico, but how do you go from super hot, my face is burning off my skull, to ending up in Ensenada, and it's like picture-perfect weather. It started out cold, and then I caught myself complaining a little bit. Oh, man, it's cold. I'm like, whoa, hold up. I need to chill with this complaining, man. I don't want to end up on the wrong side of the Lord. And so then it was what it was. Ensenada was totally different weather. I don't know how that's possible, but whatever. Somebody can explain it to me later. But I was shocked just how nice it was as compared to Cabo. Cabo was hot. So take a hat to Cabo, but leave the hat on the ship when you get to Ensenada. Amen? So we ended up just going soul winning for 4 hours. But at the end of it all, we got back, and we ended up with 183 salvations for just 3 days. And I was just super, super excited that I considered that just a great success. At the time, it was like, man, it's kind of hard getting souls saved here because we have to go everywhere. You know, you're knocking doors, nobody's really interested, people walking, hit them up, you know, and that's kind of how you have to be it sometimes. But other than that, we ended up getting back to Long Beach on Sunday morning. And yeah, as much as we love First Words Baptist Church, in case you're wondering, oh, if I go to First Words Baptist Church, I'll probably just end up, or if I go to this trip, I'll go to First Words Baptist. Well, keep in mind that it's 45 minutes from this place, from the airport, Long Beach Airport, I believe that's what it's called. And so as much as we love Pastor Mejia, we knew he was going to come to the missions conference anyway, so we kind of didn't want to like drive 45 minutes to First Works. And then 45 minutes back to the airport. It just felt like a little too rough of a drive. But you know what? There were some people that did go, and praise the Lord for that. Not only that, it's 19 people with 19 suitcases, 19 backpacks. We just didn't want to show up and basically make it, you know, hard on people to have to like figure out where to put our stuff. So we decided to just go straight to the airport after we got back. On Sunday around 8 o'clock, we just flew back and basically got back around 1 or 2. I don't remember the exact time, but I think it was around 1 o'clock. Then we just came to the evening service, and that was pretty much our trip. It was a great time. I highly recommend it if you speak Spanish. This trip isn't super expensive, especially if you live in the Los Angeles area. Shoot, if I live down there, I may do it multiple times during the year. You know, but it's a great trip. Speak Espanol. You just got to go out there and just work, and you'll get some good results. And that's pretty much what happened with our trip. You know, but here's some things that I try to do or recommend that people do. And this is something that we should do in general anyways, but so much the more when it comes to these trips. And so these are the things that I try not to do myself because they're bad and 3 of them are good. And so I got 29 minutes in. I'm almost done. I know you guys want to go enjoy your morning. You guys are dressed for skating. I totally get it. So here's one of the things as a team leader I try to make sure I absolutely don't do. You know, and I recommend you just try to do the same. And I didn't see this. I'm just saying that, hey, this is just something that I aim not to do when I'm on these trips. I just try to focus on this. It's like, oh, well, you know, what do you think? You think it'll be receptive? I don't know. I hope it is. I hope we get hundreds of people saved. But if not, then you know what? Let's just go out there. And at the end of the day, if you can just say you did your best, that's pretty much all we can really control. You know, we can't control how many souls are going to listen to us, but we can control how many seconds we're out there soul winning. Amen? So with that, this is the one thing that I always try to just catch myself from doing. And these are my don'ts. And it's just three don'ts and three do's. And so my one don't is I try, I already mentioned it earlier, I just try not to complain at all. If you got your Bibles, you go to Numbers 11. Well, you go to Numbers 11, I'm going to read from Philippians, and I'm going to read from Philippians, you know, chapter number 2, verse 14. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. I'm telling you, it makes these cruises or any missions trip a little bit more difficult when you're complaining and you're disputing. I've gone on these trips before where we have someone that would just complain and just argue, and he was just bitter for whatever reason, and he wasn't even paying for a single thing, paid for the flight, paid for the hotel, paid for the food, and he still had the nerve to complain and even dispute how we were doing business. It's like, we're doing our best, we've never been to this country, and it was something as simple as like the person running it was trying to get us the best transportation, try to get us a van so we can be comfortable. Sure enough, a little tiny vehicle shows up, but we're like on a time crunch. It's like, hey, it's good enough for me. Let's just hop in there like a little clown car. It'll be fine. And so this person keeps apologizing. Sorry, guys. I was trying to get a van. They told me it was going to be a van. I can't believe they sent a tiny little car. Hey, I'm sorry if you're uncomfortable. And I'm like, hey, I'm fine, bro. Me and my son, we're like, we're good, man. It's fine. This person literally said out loud, I'm not. Well, let me explain something to you. If that's you, you better get right with the Lord super quick. We didn't have that on this trip, but I'm just saying this because it will make the trip a lot more miserable. And not just that verse, but how about this verse? 1 Corinthians 9 says, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them, for an example, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Whether let them that think it, he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. So the murmuring, the complaining, that type of thing, is not going to make trips better. It's going to make it worse. And if you don't believe me, you can just go to Numbers 11, famous chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the first verse that says this. And when the people complain, it displeases the Lord. And when you complain, it displeases the Lord. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So one of the things as a leader that I try to have zero of is complaining in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, when my skin was burning off, I would joke about it like, man, it is hot, my skin's burning off. But I would just make it like clear that, hey, I'm still having a good time. It's just I can't believe how hot this place is. Not like they can't tell. We both have the same ability to see that it's hot. Hot is hot. Then the flies start coming, and I'm just like, wow, there's so many flies. And it was so bad that when we were in the Uber, one of our soul winners asked the driver, man, why are there so many flies here? And the guy's like, hey, it's because somebody probably left the window open back there. He's like, no, I'm not talking about your car. I'm talking about the city. He's like, the city just seems to have, like, flies everywhere. Oh, I don't know. Maybe some whale died in the ocean or something. I don't know what he said. You know, but that was a funny one. So I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not the only one struggling with these flies. But that person wasn't complaining. She was just wondering, wow, there's just so many flies wherever you walk. They're all over you. But we still got people saved regardless, amen? So just as a reminder, complaining causes Christ to cancel our contentment. Complaining causes Christ to cancel our contentment. What is contentment? Well, we went to Mexico. What do you think contento means? It means to be joyful. It means to be happy. Don't believe me? Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The Bible says that God blesses his people with peace when we're pleasing him. So what do you think is going to happen when we're not pleasing him? He's going to take away that peace from you. You can literally be on the Carnival Cruise just having dinner, having the best dinner in the world, looking down and being like, man, I just don't like this. Why? Why? Because you allowed yourself to get bitter for whatever reason. Something happened that caused you to be upset. So do us all a favor if you go on these cruises or any missions trip. Be the guy that's known, not known as the guy who complains. Amen? And I'll say this verse as much as I can. This is a reminder for my children, maybe your children, maybe just you. I love bringing up Ecclesiastes 2:26 as much as I can, because it says very clearly, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. And last time I checked, there was somebody in the Bible that was asking God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So be careful getting backslidden in your heart, and don't be that person that complains on these trips. Because at the end of the day, hey, you know what? You'll have a better time if you just stop yourself. And I had to do it a few times. So I'm like, whoa, better not say that too much. Because sometimes things can get a little harsh, whatever it may be. But like I said, it doesn't help anyone when we have this complaining spirit. And by the way, the person that paid for that trip that I mentioned, where somebody went on that trip and was complaining for no reason, other than they were just mad for whatever reason, you know, this person wanted to do another trip. But he specifically said, hey, man, I'll go, but I don't want that person to go with us. If that person's going with us, I'm not going on this cruise. I'm not going on this trip. And I'm like, no, he's not going with us, bro. It's just me, you, and a couple other people. He's like, great. So your complaining can cause people not to want to do any type of cruises, any type of missions trips. So be careful not to be that individual. Yeah. Amen? The other thing I try not to be is careless. Careless. On these trips, this is not the time to be careless. Sometimes we forget that other countries, this one as well, obviously, you know, there's danger in every country, but we need to be careful when we go to other countries where they may not like, you know, tourists that much. But I try not to be careless. I try to be as safe as possible. I try to look for the graffiti. I try to look for the bad neighborhoods, the bad houses, the bad streets, and tell everyone, hey, listen, if it feels unsafe, just leave, move, go to the backup plan. And I get it. The horse is prepared against the day of battle and safeties of the Lord. But like I always say, yes, yeah, safeties of the Lord, but the Lord doesn't want us to be stupid. Amen? He wants us to be sober, be vigilant, because no matter where you are on this planet, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And what you need to understand is that this ain't the time in another country, you know, to try to act macho or whatever. Because we did have a lot of dogs. We did have a lot of dogs in this country. And we're just trying to avoid them as much as possible. But I've seen soul winners, you know, go up to doors when these dogs are literally barking inches away from them. And that's not the way to do business. I don't know if you've seen that. Whoever's seen somebody do that? They just walk in the house, dogs barking, barking, barking. But they think somehow they're like, got some special, and I don't know. I don't think that's the right thing to do. We'd rather not deal with somebody getting bit on any cruise ship or any missions cruise. So just be careful. Look out for danger. And it can happen. For example, on this trip, Mrs. Johnson, she told me about some guy that was devil-possessed. They were knocking doors. I don't know the full story, but they said, hey, we left. It wasn't that receptive. You know, it was kind of like getting a little boring, just not talking to people. And then we got this guy just devil-possessed. And our guy, one of the guys that was there, he's like, hey, we're not going down that street. He's like, that guy looks crazy. Looks like he's devil-possessed. Hey, you know what? I think we should just go to the backup plan. And everybody said, amen. And you may be thinking, what a bunch of cowards. Nope, nope, has nothing to do with that. It has to do with this. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. You're like, how do you know that devil-possessed guy would have stopped you anyways? Well, one thing that we'll know for sure is, what if it would have gone bad? What if this guy would have just started going crazier on them because he was clearly out of his mind? So good job that team for saying, hey, listen, this ain't looking safe. Let's go to the backup plan. This guy is just following us or whatever the case may be. Let's just move on. It's not that receptive in the street. Let's get on and get out of here. Amen? So I try not to complain. I try not to be careless. And I try not to be covetous. I try not to be covetous. Why? Because the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. And the Bible says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. What do I mean by covetousness? Pretty much coveting other people's salvation numbers. That could become an issue. Coveting is wrong. But listen, at the end of the day, go do your best. Don't feel like there's something wrong with you because you didn't get whatever goal you had. And it's great to have goals. It's great to push yourself. But I've seen people get a little bit upset because they're like, man, I thought it was going to be super receptive. I had this number in mind and I didn't hit it. I'm a little bum. But did you go out for 4 hours in the heat? Yeah. Hey, nobody can take away that from you. I can't guarantee that every salvation that I prayed with actually got saved. But one thing I can guarantee you, that God's going to reward me for every single second I spend out soul winning. And I can't wait to look, or can't wait to see what that reward is. So keep your mind straight. Don't look too much at what other people are doing. And that's kind of how it was. He's like, hey, listen, I can't really control whether people are going to listen to me or not. You know, God can help. God can do things to them to listen to me, humble them. But at the end of the day, hey, you know what? I can be in an area that's just not receptive. And it may not have anything to do with you. You know, but that's what I try to do. If you got your Bible, go to Mark 4:14. Go to Mark 4:14. So I try not to be careless. I try not to complain on these trips. And I try not to covet and think like, oh, man, I wish I could be hitting those numbers. Hey, you do you and God will, you know, bring people your way. But one of the verses that I think of is right here in Mark 4:14. Where you're going there, I'm just going to read a few verses. Hopefully you can catch up towards the middle. Where it says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are the like, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They have no root in them. In themselves, and so endure, but for a time afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown in good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. It's not that the 30-fold is probably doing less than the 60-fold or even the 100-fold. It's that sometimes you're in an area that's just hard. And so whether it's 30 or 60 or 100, God is like, hey, just do something. Do something. We got Brother Bogart here. He's from South Africa. I went to South Africa one time, and it was easy pickings. It was like one salvation here, one salvation there. What was it, like 20 in one day, just me giving the gospel? Remember that? Then I'm here at home over in Ahwatukee, you know, where Pastor lives. Went there for 90 days before I went on this trip. And guess how many salvations I got in 90 days? Zero. Zero. Every day I went there just to knock it out because nobody wanted to go there. I had a soul winner show up, and they're like, where are we going? Bro, I'm trying to knock out Ahwatukee. Ahwatukee again? They didn't come back after that one. So I was an Ahwatukee soldier all by myself, knocking that place out. Yeah, I dropped seeds here and there, but man, it was just not receptive. It was basically the 30-fold type of situation. But you know what? It is what it is. Just keep going. That's what God wants you to do. Just don't quit and don't get discouraged because you got 30, this person got 60, this person got 100. Hey, every minute has a mission. Just be grateful and be content. Amen? So those are my don'ts. Don't be careless. Don't complain. Don't be covetous when you go on these trips, you know, but here are my do's. This is what I try to do. I try to be as courageous as possible. Why? Because that's going to help you get the most results. And what do I mean by that? We can get a little bit timid sometimes. You know, you're knocking doors, you get used to knocking on doors, that kind of becomes your thing. But what are you going to do when nobody's answering the doors, when nobody's interested? Continue to just knock on doors when it's clear that this is a bad neighborhood or there's pretty much nobody home? No. What do you got to do? You got to do like Philip. You got to go do some running. And that's what ended up happening on these trips, where people are obviously on the other side of the street. I'm like, man, I'm not having success at the door. Hey, anybody and everyone. See, that we can't control. You can't control if people are receptive. You can't control if an area is receptive. Those things are what they are. But what you can control is saying to yourself, you know what? No one that I can see is going to be skipped by me. I don't care if I have to run to them. But that takes humility, doesn't it? And my partner did a lot of running. I was impressed. They were like, run. Hey, senor. You know, giving him bites. Across the street, cars passing by, boom, senor. You know, I'm like, man,
I'm like, bro, I'm just gonna pray the Holy Spirit. How about that one over there? Oh, Señor. How about that one over there? Hey, there's one coming. All right, go hit that one up.
Well, they're giving the gospel. I'm just sitting around saying, if anybody's passing me, hey, let me talk to you. You just got to do what you got to do. There's nobody on the streets. It looks dead. The wave is just dead. You know, houses, hey, nobody's listening at the houses. There's nobody on the streets. What's the next thing? There's vendors. So my soul winning partner sees people selling stuff on the street. I'm like, man, there ain't nobody here. I'm going to these people. Goes up to those people, and I'm thinking, there's no way they're going to listen to her. They're just busy selling. Nope, they all listened. Every single one of them. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start doing that. Who else is selling some stuff out here on the streets? You know, but I didn't think they even do that. You know, and then, of course, because of other cruises, I'm thinking, man, the street sucks. Nobody's selling anything. Man, these apartments are horrible. Next thing you know, I see another soul winning partner in the laundromat. I'm like, bro, that's what's up. You know, do what you can. Go find them. You know, and of course, it takes courage to just say, hey, I'm going to go up to anybody and everybody. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how scary they are. And just from seeing the examples of other soul winners, I ended up using it here in Phoenix. You know, normally I don't get like yell at people that are just in their yards doing work, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. You know, I know it works. I saw it firsthand by my soul winning partner, not once, but like three or four times. You got these guys doing construction. They're working hard doing construction. They got the big little cement thing. I'm like, I'm going to talk to those guys. I'm like, man, they ain't going to listen to you. Sure enough, 20 minutes later, all three get saved. I'm like, man, I got to have a little bit more boldness. This is embarrassing. But hey, if you want the most success, you gotta be humble. You gotta have some courage. You know, tell yourself, I gotta be this cost me some money. You know? $250 for a flight, $650 for a room, $1,000, you know, for the whole thing. You know, it cost me some money. You know, then you know what? Get your money's worth. But like, you know what? This is the time where I need to be the most bold. You know, this is the time, not just because it cost me money. But this is the time in a different country. This is the more receptive nation. This is the time for me to be as bold as I've ever been in my life for the Lord's sake. Because if I or this person that I was with had my attitude, they wouldn't have got those construction workers saved. I would have kept knocking doors until my hand fell off. But they're like, anybody and everybody, I don't care. You know, it's like, I'm going to go after everyone. And this person had a lot of success, you know. Three ladies selling stuff on the streets, walks up to him, can I talk? And she's not forcing it, by the way. Not even being forced. Hey, can I show you? Yeah, we got time. Go ahead. We're just here sitting, hoping people come up. And as people come up, hey, how much are your eggs? This much. They stop, sell the little eggs, and go back to listening. That's how they wrote. These construction guys, praise the Lord, their boss didn't come around. Why are you guys standing around just listening? I pay you to work. I don't know. That never happened, but got all three saved. I'm like, amen. Not even forcing it. Hey, can I show you guys? They're like doing their work. They're like, okay, yeah, we got time. Then they stop moving and they start listening. And it's like, man, I got to start doing that. What the heck's wrong with me? You know, I'm leading this trip. I'm a bad example. Step this sucker up. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid. Why she stand fast in faith? Quit you like man, be strong. And fear not them which kill the body, but unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And all God's people say, amen. What else besides courageous? Hey, as a team leader, as a soul winning partner, hey, let's be caring. Let's be caring. What do I mean by that? Philippians 2:4, don't worry, I'm about to wrap it up. Looking at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So as I'm leading this thing, I tell everyone, hey, listen, maybe the area is good, maybe the area is bad, but one thing I'm going to try to make sure, one thing that helps me pick an area is where they have like a place to use the bathroom. Something small, but I don't want to just go to some area that I don't even know whether there's a bathroom or not. And I can't guarantee bathrooms no matter where you go. But at least I try to just think of others while I'm on these trips. You know, I try to think of others and be like, hey, you need Gatorade. Hey, you need this, you need that. Just constantly worrying about my people. You know, it's like, hey, man, I want them to be good to go. I want them to focus on the most important thing. You know, and if I have to pitch in, I have to pitch in. You know, it's just what I like to do. And so I like to just keep my eyes on other people, make sure they're good, make sure they're not left behind, make sure they get their coffee if I can, you know. It's like, hey, brother, I want some coffee. Can I get some coffee? Not right now. We're getting an Uber. Sorry. And we got a row. But when we come back, take all the coffee you want. Just constantly trying to keep everybody, you know, as successful as possible. Amen. And this comes from Philippians, you know. Look not on your own things of others, you know. But this you know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. And that's what we love to do, is just basically go on these trips and fellowship with people. And I constantly just think to myself, okay, got to make sure I just not just think about myself, but also remember, hey, people need drinks, people need bathrooms. We got to make sure that we don't just push people so crazy hard, they just get burned out and they look at me as a holier than thou. What do you mean you want us to go out 5-6 hours? Listen, if we can, we will, but it's a volunteer army around here, amen? Obviously, we pay your way, not really, but everybody else, you do whatever you want. You paid your own way, it is what it is. We'll take care of you, though. And the last thing is, of course, besides being courageous, besides having compassion or caring, it's just being content with whatever happens, happens. Honestly, if we didn't get any soul saved, I would have been happy just because of the food, amen? That's because I'm Baptist, I don't know about you. But that's because, hey, godliness with contentment is great gain. And we want to please the Lord as much as we can. And even though it's kind of the same point, complaining and being content, can't preach it enough is the way I see it. So if you find yourself leading these teams, or if you find yourself just being a part of this team, you know, whether it's cruises or whether it's missions, hey, those three things do help a lot. Don't complain. Just catch yourself, you know, complaining. Just confess it. Forsake it. Try to be a person who's happy to be there 24/7. And these trips are obviously a blessing, and they're getting easier. I mean, missions trips are getting easier and easier with Uber now. It was super easy with Uber, and I don't know, it seemed like it was like, what, like maybe almost $2 to get around? I don't know. I did the math. I thought it was a lot, but it seemed like from here to another spot was maybe a couple bucks or 10 bucks or whatever, as compared to the other countries. Like Brother Raymond was saying, that the taxis wanted to charge him like 100 bucks to go 30 minutes or whatever the case. For us, like, I think $10 just to be able to move to an area that was 25 minutes away, just to get away from the tourists and try to go to an area that looks a little bit more receptive. You know, but other than that, that's all I have for you guys. It was a great trip. I hope you guys are able to do it in the future. I plan to do one again if God willing, he allows me to. You know, the team that went with me was great. They worked hard. They were out in the sun. They earned every single salvation. At least I felt like we've earned every single salvation. I don't think this place was like the Bahamas, where you go there and, I don't know, are people just running up to you as soon as you get off the plane? What must I do to be saved? Is that how it goes, Pastor Shelley? Well, it ain't that way in Mexico, just to let you know. You know, so once again, don't complain, don't be careless, don't be covetous, but be courageous, be caring, and content. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for these trips that you have allowed us to have, Lord. And Father, I can't think of anything better than to get people saved. So Lord, just help us to do it more and more every single year. And we ask you to do this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.